This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Good morning. Recently, I've been reading in 1 Peter, verse 11 in chapter 4 stood out to me, and thinking about my assignment today, especially I liked it in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. If anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is my desire today as I tell my story. As far as your handout, I don't plan to go in order and cover every point. I just add tidbits here and there as I go along. This is just in case you hear something that would fit under one of these points or that you would like questions that come to your mind that you would have about it. So, I was born way back in the 1900s in a farmhouse just 2 miles from here. And I'm very blessed today to have my mother here and my father and my sister. So, I am only one little statistic out of billions of babies born into this world. Why was I so blessed to have been born into a godly heritage? This picture shows the heart and vision my parents had for winning the world for Jesus. I am the youngest child in this picture, and this is the picture they used on the birth announcement for my next younger sister. It was taken in our dining room. It could be said about me, what Paul said about Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Here I am after my baptism at age 12, but my experience of salvation was 2 years earlier. Sometime during my 10th year, I'm the one on the right in the top of the car. I was brought to tears at the realization that my sin caused Jesus to suffer and die. Here I am with my siblings just before my youngest sister was born. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He never sinned, I did. As I was sitting at the piano, trying to practice, I couldn't keep going. I experienced the reality of Psalm 38:4, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden they are too heavy for me. I followed the instruction of Jesus when he first started his earthly ministry. He came saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. I believed. I went to my older brother and sister because my parents weren't home. They prayed with me and I asked God to forgive my sins and come into my heart and reign there as Lord of my life. I immediately felt the burden of my sin roll away and I was filled with joy. I experienced the reality of Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And that's what yesterday morning Merle Burkholder presented that very well, the concept of the kingdom that we are in. I experienced the gospel. Even though I had a godly heritage, I needed salvation just as much as the worst sinner. I wanted others to experience what I had experienced. Here's a tract I liked at that age because it portrayed what Jesus had to go through because of his love for us. I wouldn't use it today because it says it's a once and done action. It uses scripture to bring out that point. But I have come to believe that all scripture needs to be understood in the context of its entirety. And that is not the clear message of the gospel. My son Kevin says that a whole generation in our Mennonite culture has been influenced by the popular gospel. Just do what you have to do to get by. Instead, we need to view the kingdom of God as a pearl of great price. We need to sell out everything and invest in the kingdom. What happened? Oh, my tech son isn't here.
Is it just Master Connection?
I don't know. It's on here, but it's not showing there. This is my biggest fear, that the technology wouldn't work.
Where is Kevin?
I don't know.
Shall I get him?
You won't be able to find it. I think she's going to get some. It just quit.
Just quit. All right.
It's on there, but it's not showing here. There we go. Thank you. I am grateful for the values I learned by being raised on a farm and learning to work. Driving tractor was more fun than picking tomatoes. I'm grateful for my Christian education. My parents invested a lot of money in sending their children to Mennonite schools. I have been given so much, and according to Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, much will be required. So what does this have to do with my topic? In the world, but not of the world, raising a family in an urban setting, reaching out to neighbors, responding to needs, keeping the hearts of our children turned toward us and toward God with the goal that they would develop a passion for advancing the kingdom of God. The way I live my life now was greatly influenced by what my parents gave me as I was growing up. And I believe my children will be influenced the rest of their lives by what we gave them as they were growing up. The foundation needs to be the Word, the living Word, Jesus, and the written Word, the Bible. The passage in John 17 that we often think of when we think of the phrase, in the world but not of the world, from the prayer Jesus prayed for his disciples and for us before he died. In these few verses, he uses the word the world, the phrase the world, 13 times. Even though they are all from the same Greek word, the word world in Scripture can have different meanings. In verse 9, I guess I don't have that there. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. There's obviously a distinction here between his followers and the rest of the people in the world. Verses 11 to 13, the word world is talking about the planet we live on, but it is more than that. As we live on this planet, we are definitely affected by many influences all around us. I chose this topic because we did give our children a different experience growing up in the city than I had growing up on a farm. But really, no matter where you live, you are living in the world, especially today with the explosion of electronic devices and access to the World Wide Web with all its media. In verses 14 and 16, Jesus repeated the concept twice that he is not of this world and his followers are not of this world. The evil one is mentioned in verse 15. 1 John 5:19 says, "We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." So we see clearly the truth that there are two kingdoms with two different kings. The important factors in raising children in an urban setting is not much different than raising children anywhere. Just as Eve was deceived so long ago, the serpent is still busy deceiving people today. Verse 17 reinforces my point of stressing the value of the truth of God's word. In verse 18, we see that even though we are not of the world, we are sent into the world. Here's another good phrase from these verses, not of the world, but sent into the world. After several difficulties with pregnancies and deliveries, we came to realize that the enemy did not want us to have children, but that made us want to have more children. God's plan is for them to be arrows to send out to do much damage to Satan's kingdom. Our job is to shape the arrows when they are young and easier to shape. I believe my parents did a good job of shaping me and protecting me from the evil influences of the world in many ways. I am forever grateful. Thank you. They believe that God loves the world and it is not his will that any should perish. I have happy memories of summer Bible school where we would bring children with us that didn't usually come to church. My parents opened their hearts and homes to a variety of kinds of people through the years. We had foreigners come to live with us, Wendelin from Germany, Reginald from India. As I looked through my photo album, I was amazed at how many pictures of family meals I have that include non-family members. Here's one with a fresh air girl. I want to honor my parents for being such a wonderful example to me. Whoops. My mother sometimes explains about how it seems like we are always having extra people in our home. Well, I learned it from her. Clayton's parents were also very hospitable people. Clayton says about his mother, there were only two kinds of people in the world to her, her friends and her friends she hadn't met yet. In the summer of 1979, between my junior and senior year, I was asked by a high school friend to join her in teaching Bible school in York at a church called Tidings of Peace. I had no idea when I first arrived that this would someday be my church and my husband would become the pastor and we would move into the second floor apartment and then we would buy the house next door and we would raise our 8 children in the city of York. Life is interesting. None of us have the same life experiences. Today I'm telling my story. I hope that as I tell it, you will not just enjoy hearing about my life, but you can take with you some truths that can be applied to your life. This was the second summer I taught Bible school at Tidings of Peace. The next spring, when I was trying to decide whether to go somewhere in VS or go to college, we had an evangelist come to our home, and I asked his counsel. He said, "The church needs educated people. Get your education first." I took that as a word from the Lord and started college that fall. I met Clayton in the first week of college. We started dating in December. The next summer, around the time this picture was taken, I again returned to teach at Tidings of Peace, and Clayton came along the first night. I didn't have any students come for fourth grade. He suggested that we find myself students, as Dwight Moody had done when he wanted a class to teach. He helped me round up fourth graders that night, and by the end of the 2 weeks, I had the biggest class. The leaders of the church at the time asked Clayton to consider coming to church on Sunday mornings to teach the youth. He began attending the next February, and we got married in December of 1983. I chose this picture because it shows a guest from York. The pointer doesn't work on this screen. I mean, on the screen, just on the wall. So, sorry, can't point them out. But I want to take this opportunity to say that we are also unique. Who you marry is such a major factor in anyone's life. My husband is one that knows how to make life interesting. I was always a more quiet person without a lot to say. Since I met Clayton, I can pretty much say I've never had a dull moment. I truly don't know what it would be like to be bored. So I realize that God has given each of us unique personalities, and the way we order our lives and relate to each other and to those around us as a couple will look different for each of us. Your family will absolutely be different than our family. But the wonderful truth is that we can all apply the same principles of Scripture in unique ways for God's glory and the advancement of His kingdom. Learning how to work together in our differences can be powerful and beautiful. If it was all up to me, life would be more structured, but less enjoyable. God knew what he was doing when he put us together. When we were married half a year, Clayton was licensed as pastor and then ordained a year later. Here he is with the pastor he came to assist. We lived in Lancaster on an Amish farm for a year and a half and traveled to York for church and ministry. Clayton worked for an Amish carpentry crew, and so here's a picture of an Amish man in our home. We also brought youth to our country home for visits. Tony was the first youth that Clayton led to the Lord. Sad to say, Tony was stabbed to death by his girlfriend several years later. This is just one of the many, many people who have been in and out of our lives through our involvement in York. Looking through pictures in preparation brought back lots of memories. After a year and a half of living in Lancaster, we moved into the apartment above the church. In June, it will be 34 years we have been living in York. Here are neighbors that were happy to welcome us. Our apartment became an attraction for lots of children. Some we didn't have much interaction with, but some were in our lives for years to come, like Shalanda in the front center. Here we are with our people, from young to old. The dynamics of our lives and family and yours are always changing, and we need to continually evaluate what is best for this particular season of our lives. As we started having children, we needed to figure out how to do with the children and youth that wanted to spend time with them. God gives wisdom when we ask. We had children and youth that would have been happy to spend the night quite often. We decided to let them spend the night on their birthday. Then we started having birthday parties for the ones that had birthdays in a 3-month period. Here's one with a group of boys, and here's one with a group of girls. Soon after Kevin was born, we bought the house next door and moved there. I think these girls with Kelly were pretending that Kevin was baby Jesus. We were able to join our house yard with the church yard and have lots more area outside, which became another attraction for lots of children and youth, especially when a project was going on. Notice that there is no gate on the back of the yard. That had to change in order to provide our children a safe place to play. When Kevin was almost 2, we had a scary incident with children and youth in Lancaster. We were spending the night in a camper behind his parents' home. We got there late, and Clayton and I both went to sleep, but Kevin didn't. In the morning, we realized his bed was empty, and after a frantic search, we found out from the police that he had been found by a trucker on the busy road that runs past their property and had already been placed in emergency foster care home. There was another time when he walked out the back of the yard there and out onto the next busy street before we found him. So Clayton built a fence front and gate front and back. Lots of things were happening at church, and more volunteers were coming to help with remodeling and Thursday night Bible school. The way we have lived our lives is to respond to needs that arise. According to Scripture, Jesus had compassion on the multitudes and on needy individuals that came to him. When you see a little neighbor girl with her head crawling with lice, what would be the compassionate thing to do but spend hours picking nits? This was my first experience, but certainly not my last. We eventually moved this brother and sister into our home since their mother was hardly ever home and didn't seem to care. This lasted about 2 months till their father came and they disappeared out of our lives. As we were having babies, I could better relate to other mothers, not just children. Before we even had children, we attended an advanced seminar in Chicago where Bill Gothard explained about the homeschool program they were developing based on Scripture, such that instead of having Bible as an add-on subject into a homeschooling curriculum, verses from the Sermon on the Mount would be the basis for each wisdom booklet from which other subjects were developed. We fell in love with the concept and were convinced that this was what we wanted for our children. Now it was time to begin. Here we are at one of the many homeschool conferences we attended. Just as there are many factors that affect your physical health, and it's hard to pinpoint any one factor that causes good health or bad health, so as I share how we did, I don't believe there is any one factor that was the secret to having our children grow up to love the Lord and be passionate about advancing the kingdom of God. I'm not promoting any one formula or way to do. However, I do believe that the concept of having all parts of our lives built on the foundation of Scripture and knowing Christ is what is so important. Tanya recently shared how there were times as a child where she was frustrated because it felt like everything had to be about Jesus. What about letting your children spend time in the homes of the world? During this season of our lives, our children were invited to quite a few birthday parties for our neighbors. My solution was to attend with them. With very few exceptions, we had the guideline of welcoming other children into our home, but not allowing our children to spend time in their homes unless we were along. Here's a birthday party outside. This was near the beginning of the relationship with this neighbor family, that lady with Kevin in the middle, Janet. Our children are surrounded. Austin doesn't seem to be so happy with this arrangement. He looks just like his son. We have also had many birthday parties in our home for those who wouldn't otherwise get a celebration. Here's one for Shalanda. You can see she's growing up. And we invited neighbors in our for our children's birthdays. Here's this neighbor lady, Janet, and her children in our home for Austin's birthday. Lots of happy, exciting playtimes in our home, learning how to play creatively. The guidelines were to play in a public area. If our children had chores to do, the children that came to play would either leave or stay and wait or help with the chore. As our children got older, sometimes their chore was to play with the neighbor children. This helped them develop social skills. Janet felt the need to get out of what she believed was an abusive boyfriend situation. We loaded up her belongings into our school bus while he was at work, and she and I traveled with our children to Clayton's family's cabins in Virginia for a week. We introduced her to help in that area. Through New Life for Girls, a drug rehab program, we were made aware of a need for housing for graduates from their program. We welcomed two mothers and their children into our home for a short period of time till they found housing, an opportunity for their children to experience family devotions with us. We had asked Olive Branch to help with the work by sending and supporting workers. An older couple came and some young singles. This is the wife of the first young couple to get married and move into the city with us and make York their home. They had their first child when we had our fourth. This was a blessing, but you can see how different it was for our fourth child than it was for our first child to enter the world with three older siblings and a built-in playmate from church living right down the street. There are definitely pros and cons of bringing more workers in. 3 weeks ago, we attended a wedding of another young couple that bought a house in York. This brings our current count to 11 households, including three VS houses. Here's a family from the Assemblies of God background that we spent a lot of time with. Clayton met Jay when they both drove for the York Bus Company. However, sad to say, their children began to make poor choices as teenagers, which brought some challenges in the relationships between our children and theirs, especially our oldest daughters. This led to tensions in our relationships as parents. They eventually left the church, but time has brought healing, and today we are happy to see each other when we get a chance. I'm sure we didn't always handle it wisely, and we've had to forgive each other, but these were definitely learning experiences for all of us. Our daughters have all had close friendships with girls from the city that loved us and wanted to be like us, but in time, they all changed their mind and the friendships became strained and sometimes ended. It's been hard, but just as struggle is necessary for a caterpillar to become a butterfly, so their struggles have had value in their lives. One of Clayton's frequent questions to our daughters in these situations is, who is the leader in this relationship? If they can't lead their friend closer to God, if they can lead their friend closer to God, then it's a good thing. If their friend would lead them away from God, that would be devastating. Praise the Lord, our girls have chosen to remain faithful to Jesus. Thanksgiving is a holiday that we often invite those who don't have family or resources to have their own celebration. The brown book you see on the table is what we brought out every year for our guests and us to write our names and what we're thankful for. Our children got lots of love and attention from the girls from the city, but also the youth that came to help with the work. We took some girls on a trip to Ohio to visit our first VS after she returned home. Here we are getting a flat tire repaired before leaving York. And here's a picture with her in Ohio and Starla. We are grateful for the good role models and friends most of the voluntary workers have been and still are for our children. Janet and her children came back to York from Virginia. They moved in with us for a short time while we fixed up a rental house for her family to move into. Several years later, they moved out of York and out of our lives. We had several requests for us to start a school. At that point, we said that we believed homeschooling was the best option, but we wanted to provide a better option for those who weren't able to homeschool. This picture was taken at the beginning of the first year of school. The students are having lunch in the yard between the church and our house. The school building across the street was not yet ready to move into. Shalanda again. Just a reminder that children grow up. I haven't seen Shalanda for years now. We invested in her life. We leave the results in God's hands. Our children were very creative. I liked to read to them, and Kelly would lead her brothers in acting out whatever story I was currently reading. I believe the books I read to them of missionaries and godly men and women from history, stories that demonstrated God's power and provision, were major shaping influences in their lives. Just as I'm pretty passionate about how the food we eat affects our health, so I'm passionate about how the media we take in affects our spiritual lives. Just as our taste buds can be trained to learn to enjoy more healthy choices, so I've found out that prioritizing scripture and true stories, my tastes in reading material have definitely changed. I also have tried to direct my children in making good choices in eating, but more importantly, in what they take into their minds. For many years, our boys went to sleep listening to Bible tapes. I have several verses taped to our home computer. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It saddens me to see children in our church families leaving the faith of their fathers. There have been several examples of families I have observed like this who had shelves full of videos and allowed their children to play video games. It feels to me like there's a connection. We have watched videos as a family, but most of them were chosen for their perceived value in promoting godliness and missionary zeal. The end of the first year of school, another Thanksgiving meal, a combination of workers and neighbors, a wide range of ages. This one older lady on the end was quite a challenge for us, very difficult. And I don't know if it was her, but Kelly has a memory of one time her daddy getting off the phone from a crazy lady and saying, "I don't want to help her, but what does God want me to do?" And that was a major shaping influence in her life. The end of the second year of school, 7 students from 3 families, 4 Olive Branch VSers. Now we have 5 children, and there are 3 families living in York. What a difference for us and our children. We attended Family Week at SMBI several times. This time we took along a blind couple from York. SMBI has been a shaping influence for us and our children. Clayton attended Minister's Week there soon after he was ordained and was happily surprised to find others that were upholding the values our churches and families used to have but were losing. This definitely changed our direction in life. This year's Thanksgiving meal was held in the school gym. Lots of neighbors were served. We celebrated Clayton's birthday with a yard full of neighbors. Keystone Camp was another shaping influence in our children's lives. We weren't thinking about moving, but when we became aware of this half-acre property a mile from where we were living beside the church, we began thinking of the advantages of having more space. We moved in when our 6th child was about half a year old. We actually did have a small garden and chicks several times at the old property, but it was nice to expand the options at our new home. We hardly felt like we lived in this city when we were in our backyard. This neighborhood didn't have near as many children. I no longer had neighbors knocking on my door asking for ketchup or sugar. We didn't have loud music blaring constantly in our ears. One disadvantage was the greater expenses, which had us looking for ways to bring in more income. Even though our older children enjoyed the advantages, they had questions about whether we did the right thing. The younger ones don't remember life on Poplar Street. We became directors of Keystone Camps after they accepted our suggestion to split the 2 weeks of camp according to gender rather than age. We directed for 4 years. Our children enjoyed the week spent at camp. We prioritized ministries that would involve our whole family. Here are Tanya and Autumn at the closing mother-daughter tea at Ruby's camp. Our 7th child, Wendy, was born after we moved. Here she is trying to copy her older siblings. We were still homeschooling. One of our goals of homeschooling was to have our children to be best friends with each other. We also wanted them to fill their days with profitable activities. There are so many good things to do every day, whether it be Bible reading, prayer, singing, memorizing scripture, memorizing math facts, reading quality literature, writing, physical exercise, preparing and eating food, cleaning, organizing, laundry, music lessons, creativity and artwork, handwork, and play. We just never had enough time to get every good thing done every day. We tried to prioritize the important things. My children learned not to say they were bored lest they be given a chore to do. Wendy got attached to this VS worker, Jeremy. A number of VSers have lived with us for varying periods of time, including one at the present time. Another family with children close to the ages of our children. Their parents had just recently separated, so they were going through a difficult time. We shared many life experiences for several years. As our children grew older and we saw what a blessing they were being to many, from young to old, from being a good friend to helping young moms from church and helping elderly neighbors, I almost wished we could have had more children. Again at SMBI, Clayton taught urban evangelism there one term every other year. Our whole family enjoyed the experience of getting away from the city for 6 weeks and developing relationships with the students and staff families there. As they grew older, some of them had the privilege of taking classes. Our children knew why we were in the city. The vision was clear: to win the city of York for Jesus. A change came into our lives when, through the encouragement that came to us from various sources, we reconsidered our determination to always homeschool our children. We actually used a lot as a way to hear from God what we should do. This picture was actually taken on the first day of the second year that we sent our children to school. Six of our children were students, and our eighth child was born prematurely during that school year. When that happened, we were especially grateful that they were in school. Life was certainly different for our little first grader, spending her days in the company of these children rather than her family. Our Monday night family night tradition began during this time to make sure we prioritize family time. There's lots of laughter in our home. We really enjoy each other. Three of our children were in this class. It was nice they had each other. Our two oldest were in high school. This was Kelly's senior year. It was a bit of a scary time in our relationship with her. She felt torn between siding with her classmates or her authorities. Sometimes she made poor choices. Both of our oldest children spent a period of their lives feeling a burden for the gang members in the city and believing that they could better reach them for Jesus by dressing like them. Some of the church members were quite concerned. I definitely was concerned, but I kept believing the best for them. I was grateful that they were still wanting to win them for Jesus. I am so grateful to God and his mercy and grace that brought them through this difficult time. Kevin came to the realization that everything about their culture was darkness, and we are children of light. He influenced Kelly in rejecting this approach. Not only am I grateful for this for their sakes, but I fear what would have happened with our younger children if they would have continued down this path. Because they began making wise choices, this influenced the younger ones to follow their godly examples. I am so grateful. I believe that directing our oldest children requires much vigilance. We can't totally relax with our younger children when the older ones do well, but it feels like it gets easier. About the time we sent our children to school, when our oldest two were teenagers, we started Teen Encounter. I wish I would have pictures from back then. This is a recent one. Then we had to get childcare for the younger children. Now our youngest two are the only teenagers we have. Our goal is to take our teenagers out for supper once a month to enjoy time together and to give them opportunity to bring up any issues they feel need to be discussed. I have in the past told Clayton that I don't think we can afford it. But because of the benefits we have observed, he always says that we can't afford not to do it. This time we did stay at home. This time we bought food at Market downtown and then found a secluded place behind a church. This time we included J. Marie, but usually this is a guarded time just for our children. When Clayton was asked to preach other places, he thought it best to take his whole family along. Our children were very blessed with this privilege of traveling to different parts of the United States and Canada. When he was asked to teach a pastor's seminar for 2 weeks in Haiti, this commitment was challenged because of the need to pay our own transportation costs, especially after just having our eighth child born prematurely. God provided through money designated for us from the will of the former pastor of Tidings of Peace. What a wonderful opportunity and experience for our family, even though the younger ones won't be able to remember it. Constance was one of the few neighbor children that spent quite a bit of time at our house after we moved. She was influenced by her mother, who was into witchcraft. She wasn't interested in hearing about God, but she loved to spend time with our family. Wendy especially developed a burden for her, and most nights she would pray for her salvation. Our children were not spared from seeing the devastating results of sin. Our older ones probably saw it more when we lived on Poplar Street. Drunkenness, abandoned children, unhealthy family relationships, fights, cursing, yelling, shootings, they could clearly see the contrast between good and evil. One time when Kevin was pretty young, Clayton heard him crying in his bed. When he went to find out what was wrong, he found out that he was crying because all the neighbors around us were lost and going to hell. How precious for such a young child to have a burden for the lost. Tanya shares that she has been greatly impacted by seeing all of her older brothers at times sobbing for people's souls. We have gone through quite a few trampolines through the years. It was great exercise for our children, but also an attraction for neighbors. We actually met Carlos through his attraction to our trampoline. He is not on this picture. He had just recently moved to York from Puerto Rico. He began spending lots of time with our family, and through him, we also got to know and love his mother and sister. He and Trevor became best friends. Now, many years later, here's Carlos. His wife gave me permission to show this. Carlos is living in Michigan with his wife and firstborn son. When he was younger, he didn't like it when we decided to do activities with just our family and not including him. But later he told Clayton that he thinks it is a good thing and he wants to do the same when he has children. His sister, Jay Marie, is living with us right now. If you think of it, please pray with us that Jay Marie will regain her faith in God. One of the investments Clayton made in our son's lives was taking 5 months off to hike the Appalachian Trail with them. I enjoyed being home with my 5 daughters. Kelly returned from Igo to stay with us while the men were gone and then left again for Thailand to teach English for 2 years before she got married. So it was very special that we had this time. Each of our children have unique giftedness and interests. I have enjoyed observing them and learning to know who they are and encouraging them to embrace who God created them to be and explore with them how to develop their skills and where they can best use what God has given them for His glory and the advancement of His kingdom. The next year, we started Care and Share Cafe, and the video, if you saw when you were coming in, was one of our Care and Share Cafes. It was a time for people and church from church and school and neighbors to come to our home and order food and enjoy talking or playing games with each other. This was another way we found to minister together as a family. When we began CAFE, we still had 7 children at home. We had it every Friday night. As time went on and our children began to leave home, we had it less and less often. So far this school year, we only had it 4 times. And so we continually to seek to hear from God what is the best way to use and share the resources He has blessed us with. Clayton and I have a date scheduled on the first Friday of the month, and we often spend part of it looking at our calendar and planning ahead. Since sending our children to school the first time, we have gone back and forth between sending them and homeschooling. We decided that whatever we do together, and whoever is next to graduate can decide which way it shall be. We have seen value in both options. This picture shows one of the years that the school had this age group separated between boys and girls. We had 2 daughters in this class. It has now been 4 years since I homeschooled my girls. I don't envision homeschooling again. Wendy is planning to graduate this year, and then it will only be Hannah in school. Bible quizzing is something I've been very grateful for in the last 10 years. Not the competition of quizzing, but the motivation for our children to memorize 10 or more chapters every year. For the same reason that the wisdom books based on scripture were attractive to us many years ago, it feels like this has helped our children to invest in what's really important. One of the blessings our children experienced was when we had Clayton's parents living with us. How precious to see the love between the generations. One summer we went with Carlos, he's on the right, to visit his home in Puerto Rico. We had 4 of our children along on this trip. What wonderful memories. Keyshawn was along on this trip. Some of you know him. He's a 3rd from the right. He had already joined the church but was still living with his parents and going to public school. The next summer, we took our girls on a trip out west for a month to do something special with them like Clayton had done with the boys on the trail. Another example of investing in experiences with our children. Keyshawn moved in with us during the summer after we got back from the girls' trip. His parents were in a difficult situation and he couldn't live with them anymore. They also agreed that he would be allowed to attend Tidings of Peace School. Now we consider him part of the family. Recently, we were asked by a teenage girl if she could move in with us since things weren't working out well at home. When I asked Keyshawn his opinion, he said he is a strong believer in what a change of environment can do for people, so he is supportive of the idea. He was able to work hard and finish his last 2 years in one. He graduated after his first year in our school. This picture shows the students that went to ACE convention that year and earned the Godly Character Award. Two of these students now live with us, Keyshawn and Jay Marie, second from the right. This picture was taken at Summer Bible School. I love the variety of cultures that can come together and enjoy each other. I'm grateful for the staff that invests so much into these lives. We can't force anyone to choose Jesus, but we can present truth and hopefully make the gospel look attractive by our lives. We wish we would have more stories of souls that were saved and changed lives. We are thankful for the ones we have. There are some that we know are in heaven now that probably wouldn't have been without God working through the believers at Tidings of Peace. I say that as long as there is life, there is hope. Many have come and gone. My goal is to tie strings of connection when I have opportunity instead of cutting people off. I want to show them God's love, but it is just important to present them with God's truth. I learned this from Frank Reed's class at SMBI. We need to have a balance between mercy and truth. Since he explained that, I've been amazed at how many verses include both of those words, mercy and truth. I have also thought of it often in my relationships with people. We have experienced what Jesus said would happen, that the world would hate us because we tell them the truth. Here's another way we invested in our children. I took our daughters on a special mother-daughter outing when each of them turned 13. For the older three, we went to a conference called Commit. For the youngest two, I just got a bed and breakfast and took resources along and had a special time together. Wendy and I enjoyed our time at Lake Erie. This is a picture of a group of girls that came to live with us for a week. We called it Women of Virtue. When our boys were teenagers, we started Men of Character, where we brought boys from the country to live to the city for a week. We also included some of the youth from the city along with our boys. When our boys grew up, we had teenage girls, so we switched to Women of Virtue. This was our biggest year for Women of Virtue. I had four daughters in Bob, plus lots of other volunteer staff. It had its place and time in our family and community. Now it is possibly dying out. Last year, instead of hosting Women of Virtue here, we took a group of girls to our cabins in Virginia, the same place I had taken Janet and her family many years ago. I enjoy making schedules and planning events like this. Not everyone would enjoy this kind of thing, but it's just one example of how God can give creative ideas that work well with the situation you find yourself in and with your particular giftings. Don't try to be like me. What is it that you like to do? It's so beautiful to see God's creativity and how he makes each of us differently and then how each one blossoms in a different way. When we were homeschooling, often every year I would come up with a new system of how to order our lives. I believe this is helpful to do periodically, to just get away and reevaluate. Put the rocks and pebbles in place and the sand will fill in around them. Even when not homeschooling, it is good to do this, as Cynthia Brubaker encouraged us to do in her homemaking class at Faith Builders. I want to give a tribute to Faith Builders and the powerful influence it has had on our family. Our oldest daughter met her husband at winter term. Kevin was on staff for several years. I wish I could point them out, but Austin and Trevor and Keyshawn all graduated, and Wendy is looking forward to attending in the future. This is Keyshawn's class this year. This is his second year of teaching and of having our youngest daughter in his class. God is blessing the school with continued growth. Our home is still a center for ministry for our children, grandchildren, neighbors, and church family. You never know what a day may bring forth. All glory to God for what he has done and what he is going to do. And so the review, I won't read over it. You have it on your papers, and the time is just about up. This is a wall hanging in our dining room. I love having scripture on the walls of our home. We know these phrases, but do we really apply them to our lives? Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Above all else, love each other deeply. If you want your children to do these things, you need to model what it looks like. We loved each other and our children and desired to give them a loving, secure home. They could see that many of their neighbor friends did not have the same. They knew it was because of the difference that Jesus made in our lives. They were taught the truths of the Bible in our home and church. They could see the contrast between good and evil. I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.